Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
Would you pray with me before we're seated? Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are a good God who walks with us in all of life's challenges, joys, everything that we experience. God, would we see your hand with us? Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. And this morning, our prayer would be that we would see your hand throughout our church and throughout individuals that are part of this family over this past year. And God, that the focus would be on you, that your name would be lifted high, that we would have much to celebrate for who you are and for what you have done. In your name we pray, amen. You may have a seat. Well, this past week, my daughter, who's in grade one, had a class assignment. And the class assignment was to bring in an artifact that was significant to her and to our family. Students then, with their artifacts, set up a museum in their classroom. And each one took an opportunity to share about the artifact that they had brought, to share about the significance that it had. Although not old, my daughter chose to bring in her baby mobile that hung above her crib and she still has in her room today, that was given to her by my sister. She shared the significance that it had to her and to our family. And along with her, the items that each student brought told a story. Together as a class, they were then able to share in one another's experiences. We likely all have keepsakes, mementos, or souvenirs, or artifacts that remind us of an experience or a significant event that took place in our life. Some examples might be a trophy or a medal that you received, a costume from that play that you were in, that old football jacket that doesn't fit anymore, a photo book, home videos, maybe it's a medical bracelet, a book or a childhood toy, maybe your wedding dress. Anything that you hold on to that reminds you of an important life experience. No matter what it is, though, you can see when you look at that item, you recall the story that it was a part of, and very likely it's a story that gave shape to who you are today. Moments mark our lives, not just as individuals, but also as a community. And I want us to look this morning at one of those life-defining moments, specifically a faith-defining moment that impacted the Israelites. But not just them, it impacted generations to come, even to us today. The moment is found in Joshua chapter 4, and so if you have a Bible, you can take it out or you can turn it on. We're going to be Joshua chapter 4. We're going to read the first 7 verses, and then we're going to skip down and read verse 24. Joshua 4, starting in verse 1, says, "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight.' So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, "What do these stones mean?" tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And down to verse 24. He did this so that all people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Joshua and the Israelites had just experienced this miraculous power of God. He was leading them once again, and God did not want them to forget the moment. And this is why Joshua is given instructions to have one person from each tribe to go back into the river and to gather a stone. Together, these stones would then serve as a sign, as a reminder, as a memorial, as a symbol of God's faithfulness. And it would allow future generations to know and to experience the person and the faithfulness of God. God did not want this transforming moment to be missed by those who were there in the moment or for future generations that were to come. And so here's why remembering God's faithfulness is important, and it's where we're going to spend our time focusing this morning. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past gives strength for today. That's number one. Number two, remembering God's faithfulness makes the person of Jesus known. And thirdly, remembering God's faithfulness keeps us moving forward. So let's start with the first one. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past gives us strength for today. The account of Joshua and the Israelites shows the importance of remembering God's faithfulness, because when we do, it gives courage to live for him today. And I think we could all use some of that. I find the narrative of Joshua and the Israelites crossing the Jordan to be one that I can relate to, in the sense that I am prone to forget. Or as my daughter says, "Dad, you're in forget mode." I forget my keys, my wallet, my grocery list, what I was supposed to get done, appointments, and more. And in a similar way, it's easy to forget God's goodness and faithfulness to us. When the pressures and pace of life pick up, when we find ourselves overwhelmed and feeling anxious, feeling alone or struggling to just get through, we tend to forget God's faithfulness. We tend to forget how he has shown up in the past. You could say that we suffer from a spiritual amnesia. The Israelites made this same mistake in their wilderness that led up to this very experience we read about. And it's recounted in Psalm 106, verses 9 through 13, which read, "He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up." This is when God parted the sea when they fled from Pharaoh. "He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed them. The waters covered their adversities. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise." But then they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. God had shown up in miraculous ways, and yet, as our text reads, they soon forgot. God had just delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh, and now facing the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army behind them, they forgot about his power and his faithfulness. And the pattern continues as God acts and his people forget. God acts, they rejoice, and they forget. They were constantly forgetting what God had done for them. But how often do we do exactly the same thing? Again, when the pressures and pace of life pick up, and we find ourselves acting like God is not with us, even though he has acted faithfully in the past, spiritual amnesia. It can be easy to say, yes, God is faithful when you are not in need. It can be easy to say God is faithful when your prayers are being answered in the ways that you hope for and desire. It can be easy to say, yes, God is faithful when life is going according to your hopes and your plans. But what about when you can't see that next step in front of you? What about when you are unsure of where your next paycheck or meal is going to come from? What about when your prayers and cries for help seem to be met with nothing more than silence? What about when you have more questions than answers? In these times and others that are similar, I think we can all agree that it is harder to say, God is faithful. God is good. And this is when it is important to recall that the God who acted in the past is the same God who acts now. Acknowledging God's faithfulness in the past allows us to see his hand at work today. My wife's side of the family has a really neat tradition. Any cards that are given on a special occasion, a birthday or an anniversary, the first one that is given is the card that is used for the lifetime. They call it recycling cards. And so you can continually go back. So the card that I first received from my wife on our anniversary that just passed this last week, there are now 13 years of messages that I can look back and see. And you want to know what my wife wrote in that card this year? She said, it's incredible to look back and see God's faithfulness, not knowing what was being shared today. But it's true. When we write down and are able to look back and see, we can clearly see that the things that we brought before God, the ways that we acted God or approached God and asked for him to be faithful, that he has in his time. When our current realities look to dull the reality that God is moving in the present, remembering restores hope and confidence in God. When we remember how God previously helped us, it builds our faith and gives confidence that he can do it again, not just for us personally, but for the community of faith as well. God has been at work in your life in ways that are worth remembering. Our job is to take the time to pause and to remember. Number two, remembering God's faithfulness makes Jesus known. When Joshua instructed people to take stones, it wasn't just so that they could have a good memory of something that had happened in their life, but the purpose included sharing with others who God was and what God had done. The hope was that lives would be changed when people heard the story of what had happened. The stones were to bear witness to all those that would come, not just those who experienced the miracle in the moment. We read in our text that the stones were meant for future generations, so that when they would inquire about what had happened, they would all hear and know the person of Jesus. In this, we see the importance of sharing who God is with the generations to come. Thinking about it in terms of memorials that are built and throughout our world, a war memorial or a memorial of a famous person, they serve to remind people of what happened, what others did. They beckon us to not forget. Memorials are built for the audience of a future generation. A memorial of a past event is for those that were not there to experience it. The memorial of the stones at the Jordan were no different in that they were meant to be a sign for future generations of the faithfulness and power of the living God. Remembering is intended to have a generational impact. And so to those who have deep roots in faith and the church, we have responsibility to encourage joy and excitement in younger generations for the new things that God is doing. Though faith is individual, the passing on of faith is very communal. We have a responsibility not only to remember how God has been faithful to us, but also to make sure that future generations hear and know about God's faithfulness. Our stories of faith shape and influence the lives of those around us. And so stories of triumph, of joy, of pain, of perseverance, of hardship, all need to be shared so that we can encourage one another. When we share chapters from our personal story, we reveal truth about who God is and the promises that he gives. Our stories show that we are real people who serve a personal and living God. Romans chapter 1, verse 12 says, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. The reason for sharing stories of God's faithfulness is to point people to God. You are obviously one of the main characters in your own personal story. However, the main character should always be God, and our story should point people to him. Remembering God's faithfulness makes Jesus known. And so in light of that, we want to share stories this morning of how people here within our church have encountered the person of Jesus through you together as a church, God working in and through you. And so we're going to play a video that's going to share some of the stories, and then Pastor Brent's going to come up with a few others and share a few more after that.
Alliance Church, I only started coming in September of 2023, and that was when I first started getting into spirituality, getting into my journey into faith, and I wasn't quite sure where to start. I just knew go to church and start learning, and it was a lot of information to take in. It was a lot of people to meet, and I was really honored to be able to meet a bunch of women at the Pearls and Denim event that was hosted by Cochrane Alliance Church. It was a really great opportunity for me just to meet people within the church that I had a similar lifestyle with, as well as hear stories from other people that kind of resonated more with me being more new to the faith. I wasn't quite sure where I'd belong in it all, and kind of felt like a bit of an outsider that was just starting off something that everybody had been raised in, and listening to the different stories of different women and how they came to the faith and how they've connected with other people within the church. It gave me an opportunity to express myself and where I was coming from and my story and how that led me to the church, as well as hear other stories and realize that not everybody does grow up in church, and that sometimes you do find your own way and you do come there to your own as an adult, which I hadn't quite encountered yet. But it was really empowering to me to know that I'm not the only one that didn't start from a young age, and there's space for you no matter what stage you're at in your journey of faith. And that was really important to me, and I was really grateful to Cochrane Alliance for putting on that event, because it did mean a lot to me to know that I have a spot and there's a place for me at the table.
Good morning, Cochrane Alliance. My name is Rachel Francis. I am wanting to send out a huge thank you to all of the men who serve for the Christian Boys Club. My son Kai has been attending the Christian Boys Club for 2 years now, and it has been so life-giving to him. He lost his dad 6 years ago, and to know that he has such incredible mentorship and men in his life that he can trust and who love and care for him and are able to disciple him has been so life-giving and such an answer to prayer for me. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
My name's Dan McCann.
My name's Angie.
One of the ministries that we found really impactful here at Cochrane Alliance has been small group ministry. We moved here from Ontario just over a year and a half ago, and being in a new community where we don't know anybody, we don't have family and those supports, it was really important for us to find a way to plug in and get connected. And so, you know, we look for opportunities to get involved in that way. And we've been super thankful for what small group has meant to us, mm-hmm. and the people who have gone out of their way to make those things possible. It's great to have people who are willing to give not only of their talent and their time, but also their home and their hospitality. Mm-hmm. That's made a huge impact for us in the last year and a half, transition to a new place, especially with a young family. It's been a real positive for us to not only have a place to connect and feel like we belong, but also to find people who can support and we can grow together. So that's been, I think, a really big impact for us.
I'd really like to thank Loretta for leading our small group and Paul and Cindy for hosting. It's really meant a lot to us.
I think it's so incredible to have such great volunteers for these things, and it's made a huge impact in our life, and I'm sure it can make a huge impact in others' lives as well.
Thank you so much to my youth leaders, Sadie, Natalie, and Lois. You guys are awesome and you helped shape the person I am today. Thank you.
This year, I got to be a part of the Jam Kids Action Team. I love dancing and doing actions in front of the adults and kids and helping lead worship. The Jam Action Team helped me love worship even more. I would love to give a special thank you to Miss Amanda and Mr. Colin Karubish for leading the Action Team this year and volunteering their time. Every Sunday, they came with a new worship song and dance, and they helped make Sunday school a lot of fun. They also helped me gain confidence in leading worship. Thank you again so much for your leadership, Miss Amanda and Mr. Colin.
This year, I have really enjoyed Jam Kids. I love the games we play when the teachers tell the Bible stories. I also really like when we get to be a part of the big church once a month. It was on one of those Sundays that God spoke to me and told me to be baptized. I loved being part of the Jam Action Team this year. When I learned the actions, it really helped me to remember the words of the songs, and it makes worshiping God a lot of fun. I'm thankful for Mr. Colin and Miss Amanda because they made me feel safe and comfortable, and they helped me to be able to have fun worshiping God. They taught us that it's not just about singing the songs, but about praising God, and that's really special to me.
Thank you, Jam Volunteers.
That's awesome. Just a few little snapshots of some things that are going on, and some big thank yous to all the volunteers of those ministries. None of these stories happen without volunteers who staff those ministries, who dedicate their time to it, who take training, who facilitate. So huge thank you. I also have Dave and Sydney here. Dave, you've got a thank you as well, and then Sydney.
Thank you. I am grateful for this church, congregation, and the staff. As I ushered, I welcome people into the sanctuary and would see their smiling faces and give five highs to the kids as they entered. But God has given me the privilege and blessing in the past several years to volunteer and serve Him in three of the senior facilities here in Cochrane. I have a half an hour church service second Tuesday of the afternoon at Hawthorne's up in Fireside, Bethany Care on Wednesday afternoons, well, that's according to the schedule that's set up, and 7 o'clock in the evenings at Big Hill Lodge. Music is a great therapy. I also have sing-alongs with my special dementia people, the residents that we have to code in and code out. The third Tuesday of every month, I go to Hawthorne's. And every Wednesday evening, I end up at Bethany. You know, they love to sing the old songs. Home on the Range, You Are My Sunshine, Let Me Call You Sweetheart. And sometimes I change the words on purpose. But they let me know that it was not the right words. I have a lot of fun. I have the privilege, and I call it a privilege, to be able to end each one of the sing-alongs with about 20 to 25 minutes of singing hymns, and my close with my favorite, One Day at a Time. Why do I volunteer? I go to encourage and bring cheer and lift the spirits of the residents. But you know what? When I leave, I'm the one with the smile. I'm the one that's been encouraged because I've seen their smiles and their enthusiasm. I love what I'm doing. But God gets the praise for giving me the opportunity to minister in this way.
Thanks, Dave. We so appreciate that. Thanks, Dave. And I have Sydney here who wants to just thank you as a church. And Sydney, you're pretty new with us as well. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll give it to you.
Okay. Hi, guys. My name is Sydney, and I came here like the beginning of March. So really, really new to the church, but I wanted to speak today and thank everybody because coming to the church was something that I was very skeptical on doing. There's always these misconceptions where it's going to be judgmental or you're not going to be accepted or you're not going to be able to find your place or you're going to have to be able to look a certain way and fit into a certain box. And so coming from a Ukrainian Catholic background, I was prepared to not like the church when I came. But my first service here with some friends of the church was amazing. And not only just the service and the content of the message, but the people that I met and the warmness and the warm greetings and welcomings that both myself and my daughter received. She has gone to Sunday school, but she prefers to be here and singing with everybody because when she sees everybody here, it's like her favorite day of the week. She loves to come here and worship with everybody and sing with everybody. She loves to say hi to people and to make new friends, which has been one of the best parts of the church is that coming here, we're not only just worshiping. We don't just feel like we're coming to church, but we feel like we're coming to see our family every week, which is really beautiful. And so I wanted to say a big thank you because not only for the people that we worship here with, but the programs as well. I came to the church through Right Hand Support because I definitely needed some help in my life and trying to juggle all the things I was trying to do by myself without God. And it was through Right Hand Support that I met my mentor family, that my daughter met our mentor family, and now we've known them since, I want to say, like November-ish of last year. We just started coming to the church in March. And it's like she has adopted grandparents here in Cochrane, and I have adopted parents. It is really beautiful to see not only them and how they've impacted our lives, but every single person that we meet still to this day coming into the church. And I got baptized on Easter Sunday just this past. And in my testimony, I said it wouldn't have been possible for me to get baptized if I didn't feel welcomed and supported and loved by the church. So I just wanted to thank everybody for the absolutely undying and unconditional warmth and love that myself and my daughter have received here. Her father also recently started coming to the church and has loved it as well, also sharing the same skepticalism that I had at the first little bit as well. And even our friends who came for Luna's dance recital, she asked them to all come to our church because she loves it so much, and they had a really great experience with everybody here too. So I just wanted to say thank you because the kindness and the love that we see here really is radiating outwards, not just for myself and my daughter, but for our friends and our family too. So I just wanted to thank you guys for that.
Thanks, Sydney. You guys can have a seat. Thanks so much. So that's a big thank you to all of you. It's incredible and so heartwarming for me when I hear of people who aren't really sure what to expect out of church and they come in and they go, that was a great place to be. That's a testimony to you, because I can't do that. Only the people of the church can do that. And I just want to mention, you know, all the stories that we featured today are just little snapshots of what God has done in our church throughout his people this year. And there's dozens of more stories. We could have taken the whole service to tell stories. Just as I was thinking about it, I was reminded of all these little things that happened. You know, I put out a call for furniture for a refugee family, and I had so many responses, I actually couldn't keep up with them all. I had to make a spreadsheet about who was offering what and like try and figure that out. That's incredible. And I'm just incredibly grateful for all the different people and different ministries in our church and the volunteers who make it happen. And I don't want to miss any of them. So I do want to, one of the ones that I've been hearing a lot about this year is the men's ministry, the Wingmen. And it's been an incredible blessing to a lot of men this year. And I just want to encourage the men of all ages, check out the Wingmen when it resumes this fall. You can talk with me. I'll put you in touch with the leaders. But a big thank you to Neil and Sheldon and DJ and Jerry for taking leadership on that. And I've just had, so many conversations with men who said, you know, I wasn't sure what to expect when I went, but it's been such a blessing to me. I really feel connected with the church or connected with my faith. I think one guy said, you speak Jesus here. Well, you can't get much better than that. So thank you, huge thank you to the Wingmen and their leadership. I also want to thank the Elders Board that has led us so well this past year. The elders are going to be serving you hot dogs right away, so you can say thank you to them. But they give guidance to policy, procedure, give oversight, wisdom, and direction to me, and I'm just so grateful for their willingness to serve the church in this way. Also, the women's ministry. I know we had a little bit of a story out of the women's ministry, but just a big thank you to Loretta, Gwen, and Sydney, who have run so many events. And then we have Bible study leaders also in the women's ministry. The women's Bible studies are flourishing. It's been incredible to see. Another area of ministry I just want to thank people for is our altar prayer ministry team. Every Sunday we have people here who are available to pray with you for anything. They've all taken prayer training with our prayer leader, Jan, and Jan also coordinates their schedules to make sure we always have people available to pray. So it's just amazing that we have a ministry like that. And as Sydney had mentioned, the Right Hand Support Program I want to mention as well. So many of you are involved in the mentorship program. And I just want to thank you for dedicating your time to being mentors. As you can see, it has positive impact and life change for people in our community. So thank you for mentoring those people. Finally, you might notice that every Sunday, we have people who make you coffee, who greet you at the door, who help you find a seat when you come in late. As you know, no one comes in late, but yeah. And we have our information desks, and we have our hosts, and I just want to say a big thank you to our whole hospitality team. Again, the people that meet you at the door who say hello and welcome to church, like such an important part of the Sunday morning ministry, that people feel warmly welcomed and greeted and feel like, wow, there's something going on here that I want to be a part of. And lastly, I really want to thank our worship team members. We were without a worship pastor for a number of months, and the worship team members basically led themselves, you know, with very little oversight from me or anyone else on the pastoral staff, and they did a phenomenal job. So I am just so grateful. If you think of the worship team, just I want to specifically think of them, because I think about Thursday night practice, Sunday morning practice, two services. There's a lot involved in being on a worship team. And then you add to that, they didn't have the pastoral oversight, and they were picking songs, and they were leading us so well. And I just want to say thank you so much to everyone on the worship team who helped out. And then, of course, everyone here is a part of making Cochrane Alliance Church what it is. I just wanted to make sure that those who volunteer, who've really committed themselves, get a special appreciation today. And before I hand this back over to Jason to close us, I just want to try and convey to you the massive scale of our volunteer involvement. We just put together a volunteer board. You can see it when you walk in from the main parking lot. It says Volunteer Hub. There's all these little jobs listed with a QR code you can scan. It'll take you to the job description, and you can fill out a form and get involved that way. But there's 46 areas where we need volunteers. That's not 46 volunteers. That's 46 areas where we need volunteers in the church. And we have hundreds of volunteers. And so I just want to say, good job, church. Thank you so much for being willing to serve And again, it's not just that we serve one another, but we also have this influence in our community that's positive and great. And so I just wanted to say thank you, and I'll hand it over to Jason to close us out. Thanks, everyone.
I just echo that. Thank you so much for the ways that you invest and make this church what it is, and offer yourselves to the work that God is doing. Life change does not happen without you. And so God has this crazy idea, in a way, of working with us, of working out his purposes through his people. And it's pretty humbling to think that we are a part of that. But God is doing amazing things, and you are a huge part of that. So again, thank you so much. We're going to wrap up with our third point on remembering. The third one was this: remember God's faithfulness because it keeps us moving forward. And this is so important. Remembering is not designed to transport us back into the past, but it is to prepare, equip, and encourage us for today and for the days that are to come. God always wants to keep us moving forward. Notice the language in verse 2 when it says this. When the altar was to be built, it says, "At the place where you stay tonight." The language speaks to this idea of a short stay. The idea is not to remain where they are and to just keep reveling in that moment, but the idea is you will continue to move forward. And so in remembering, we must let the past encourage us without becoming anchored to it. When we drop an anchor in the past, it can lead us to giving up on God in the future. And so we read of the importance to keep moving forward, and it comes in the book of Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 15. It says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things." These verses tell us that it's an act of maturity to keep pressing forward in order to participate in what God is doing. And verse 24 at the end of Joshua chapter 4 reads, "He did this so that all people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord your God." The monument of the stones was not just for the sake of remembering the past, but it was for the purpose of changed lives in the present and in the future. It was to remind God's people of where they had been and what God had done, so that they could have hope and confidence to move into the future and to move into the new things that God would continue to do. When we remember how God has previously helped us, it builds our faith and it gives us that confidence that says, God can do this again. God's desire for us is that we not simply remain a monument to remember what was, but he is calling us to be a movement, a groundswell of people who are moving in the Spirit to bring change in the world. God is not content with our faith to be something that simply looks good on the outside and reflects what he has done in the past. But his desire is that we would be people who have a faith that is active, that is moving, and that is making a difference. And we got to celebrate a little bit of that today. But my prayer for us as a church is that we would continue that, that we would be people who constantly remember God's faithfulness, so that we can be encouraged for today, so that we would make the person of Jesus known, and so that we would keep moving forward into the new opportunities that God has for us. So I invite you now to stand with us as we close and as we remember the goodness of our God.